Well, nobody looks forward to seeing you as much as I do. Welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show, where I believe all across the mighty fruited plain of America, there's a yearning for hope and there's a desperation in the heart that God will indeed do something to arrest the downward spiral of a nation seemingly hell-bent on its own annihilation. I'm here to give you good news. What you're looking at is an increasing misery index in America because of liberals, Democrats, progressives, Marxists, and a whole cacophony of a multitude of people who are trying to have life their way instead of recognizing God's way. And at a certain point in time, you end up paying the price for that, whether it's in open borders, rising crime, anarchy in cities, deficits that lead into a spiraling inflation. They're trying to tap the brakes on this. There's a fake economy going on now till November. And when the adjustment happens, it's going to be crazy. Why am I saying this to you? Because you are not going to live in that system. Paul wrote during the tension of the first century church that you could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That was Peter actually wrote that. Paul was the one that said, the kingdom of God is righteous as peace and joy. The disciples were filled with supernatural joy. I want you to make a distinction between a news cycle and heaven's cycle. Heaven's cycle enables you to unplug from earth because you are not supposed to be living as a prisoner of this environment. You're supposed to be changing this environment because of your connection to another environment. I call that the signet ring. What is that, Lance? Well, I did a special training. You can get it at lancewallnau.com/ring. The signet ring is used four times in the Bible to symbolize extraordinary power that has been deposited into believers' hands who are authorized by God to shift the environment around them. The signet ring is a symbol of the anointing of authority that is in the hands of God's people in four separate ways that you wield that authority and you shift the environment by putting an imprint upon it that brings the will of heaven into the manifestation of what happens on earth. It's a powerful teaching, and I want you to get it. LanceWallnau.com/ring, and we're going to make sure it's available for you. Now, let's get into the prophetic analysis of what's happening and where are we going. You'll love it. I have to analyze current events. And it's kind of depressing because I would much rather stay in the Word and keep faith-filled and just, you know, listen to one or two, go listen to Flashpoint once a week and get my global perspective and then go back to my own private world. But I've got to actually keep up with what's going on. It's helped me in a way because I'm teaching you out of the fact that I'm giving you feedback from the Word of God on how this Word applies to geopolitical reality as it's unfolding in the newspaper every day. Now you see what's happening. Satan is trying to occupy the top of the education mountain. He's got the schools, he's got the colleges and the universities. They've eliminated and removed the conservative viewpoint, so the students are all being propagandized now. And once you see this paradigm as a Christian, you understand Satan is going for the gates of influence, and the church is waking up now and beginning to realize, well, I've got to get involved with this government thing. In fact, the way in which this battle goes seems to me to be legislation, litigation, and the shaping of public opinion. Remember those three things. It took me a long time to realize that when your church comes under attack, it's going to come under attack because there's going to be media that is going to hit you. It's going to be that government will try to work in order to attack you, and they'll come after your structure, come after your message, come after your finances. So it's going to be litigation. And where do you defeat the enemy? You got to go to court in order to push back on them, or you have to be able to make the case in public in order to push back on fake news by giving people the truth. But this is the real battle map here. This is a very practical thing. Now, why is that important in the morning to get that? Because when you're wondering about, well, what's going on, you have to realize, yes, you must get engaged, more so than ever before, in shaping the environment around you. You have a strong apostolic church right here. So what that means is you have your A game already set. I go around, I've been around this ministry for 40 years. I go around the world. This is a strong apostolic church. This is strong apostolic leadership. You got a very unusual thing where you have an apostle pastor who's with the church, married and stable like this. And he's got a vision which is entrepreneurial, really, which is, means that there's tremendous latent potential here for the business community in Minneapolis and in Minnesota to be able to have some kind of a, I would say, an activation that would take place, because he's got an anointing on him that can think outside the box, and that's entrepreneurial in nature, right? The A game means that the church here can activate the business community, can activate influencers within media, can activate within education, can activate within the realm of government. And what I'm saying is, if the church begins to think in terms of occupy till he comes, identify all of you that have callings out there. Now listen to me very closely. You've got a calling to do something. I'm preaching this message to give you some vision that God is wanting you to expand your sphere of influence and activate your authority within a certain sphere he gives you. And if you really want to know what I'm saying is, which I wasn't even knowing why I was starting with this, but this is what the Lord put into me. Tell them about Michael Kratz. Why? Because the greatest argument with death is an unfinished assignment, and I'm trying to stir you up to see that you're in the greatest assignment moment of your life. If you don't know what your assignment is, now is a good time to seek God to find it. Because it certainly is a bigger assignment than simply occupying a seat. This is where you get vision-fed, revelation, anointing, empowerment, and connection, but it's for the purpose of expanding the kingdom somehow. Where are you called to expand the kingdom? So I'll tell you what I realized. These, and I asked the Lord, I said, well, I need to see some models of this. And then I began to get a revelation. I'll give you this other quick download right now. So you got the seven mountains here. I'll carve off a corner of the kingdom here for something. Now watch this. So I'm looking at the model of, how does this work, Lord? And here's what I believe one of the things the Lord showed me. And it comes actually from Daniel chapter 2. If you got your Bible, really should be in the Word here today. Daniel chapter 2. And I'm reading about Babylon. Book of Revelation is all about Babylon. And in Babylon, let's take a look at what happens when a believer, Daniel, he certainly is a believer, and he's occupying a place and the government of Babylon. The king or the ruler in Babylon has a dream, and he's going to kill all the wise men in Babylon unless they can give him the interpretation. Verse 14 of chapter 2 says, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill all the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent that he's going to have his dream interpreted, or he's going to kill all of us? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Well, here's what's going on. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. So the setup is this. God's people are in Babylon. Not only in Babylon, but of all the seven mountains, this particular young man is in the government mountain. So he's not in the synagogue. He's not a prophet. He's not a rabbi. He's not a teacher. He's not even in Israel. He's in enemy territory in the government of all things. Now remember, we got a new covenant that's based on better promises. So if this works for Daniel, it'll work for us too. So pay attention to what happens. Daniel asked the king for time, and then Daniel went to his house. He made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and he got the revelation. The moment he got the revelation, he goes before the king, gives him the interpretation of the revelation, and immediately he gets promoted over all the other wise men. And he petitions the king for his friends, and all three of his buddies get promoted with him. So here's what happens. I'm looking at this apostolic paradigm of church, which is now becoming more of a territorial church. And I know your church has been hit, as all churches have, with COVID, and there's kind of a reorientation. But it's also what we call a reset, which is a moment when you begin to examine how you do what you do and look for new ways of doing things. Right now, what's happening with Daniel is he's a foreigner in a foreign government. He's in an occupation, which is weird for a Jew in the first place, working for a Babylonian. And now to survive, he has to have a supernatural revelation. But look at what happens. They meet in the house. Oh, what does this tell you? This house is what's called, I'm going to just use this word, it's called a microchurch. What's a microchurch? Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Let's get really practical now. If you're going to be the ecclesia that goes up against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell are located over Hollywood or over the New York Times or over government or over the university, actually, the only way you can plunder the strong man is to go into his house. That means 90% of the church isn't in the pulpit. 90% of the church is in the community at some level engaging these systems. This means in order for you to plunder the strong man's house, you have to go into the strong man's house. And here's the interesting thing. No matter what status you have in the house, and the Lord showed this to me when I was working in corporate America. The lowest ranking employee who has legitimate authority or access into the house is the highest ranking spiritual authority if they're the only Christian. You're the ambassador God put in that structure. And if you have that mentality, you'll find that the Lord will continue to promote your influence and use you right in that place. When I was studying this, I said, wait a second. He had to be in the house with his three companions. And they couldn't have a synagogue, obviously, in Babylon, but they met in the house, and this is where they prayed. Now, I'm looking at this model, and I talked to a senior economist who's a born-again Christian in China. He says, I don't know why you in America haven't figured this out yet. We have to do this in China, because you can only get so big, and then the government's in your services. They're watching everything you do. For us to exist in the university, we have to have a microchurch. You don't want to go up against a strong man's house by yourself. That's not scriptural. It's the ecclesia that has authority against the gates of hell, not the solo act. So therefore, the minimum is two or more gathered together. Here's your challenge. Look for the sphere of influence that God wants you to have influence over, wherever it is. Pray about what it is. Look for what bothers you most is typically a great indicator of what you're called to do. And then believe God to have two or three other people that will join you in praying for what God wants to do. Then you'll find that sphere begins to open up and you'll be engaging a journey up the mountain of God. I've been watching this phenomena for years. The house here, the house there in China or in Babylon became the micro place where the prayer meeting was taking place in the strong man's house. As a result, God begins to position the church for greater and greater influence. I had this happen in corporate America. When I was in corporate America, I was wanting to leave business so I could go preach. Everybody convinced me the most fun thing to do is preach. And here I was in corporate America doing consulting. So I figured as soon as I get my assignment done, I'll get graduated and be able to go off to Bible college or go preach or something. But I didn't realize that I didn't have this paradigm back then. I wanted to leave the world system to get away so I could go where the action was. In the ministry, I didn't realize that the purpose of the ministry is to equip the body of Christ to go make disciples of the nation. Right. We're supposed to be going out and shaping something. Does that make sense to you? Yep. So I remember walking around the corporate office and thinking, well, when I get my assignment done, maybe the Lord will release me from this. And so I would do these prayer walks. I'd pray in the spirit at the end of the day. And I'd walk around our corporate headquarters where I was a well-paid consultant. And I walked around, prayed in tongues, and I started having these waves of experiences come over me. I was picking up on what was in the atmosphere. And the Lord showed me, you're picking up on what's in the atmosphere so that you have discerning of how to pray. So I'd feel this anger in certain departments. I'd feel this kind of a sensuality. You know, I felt manipulation and witchcraft. It was weird, but various departments had spirits that are operating through them. And I can only tell you that the spirit realm is a real realm. And as I released the opposite spirit, something started to break up in the atmosphere. People started becoming responsive to the gospel. And then I started like doing these really weird things. I took these Chick Tracks. You ever see Chick Tracks? Normal Hayes used to always talk about them. They're like comic books. And I pick these comic books, like This Was Your Life, which is one of my favorite ones. And they're little comic book gospel messages. And I would unroll the toilet paper in the men's room, and I'd stick one of my Chick Tracks in there and roll it back up. Because somebody invariably would be in there, and they're rolling out the toilet paper, and then a gospel track comes out. Well, they're sitting there. They might as well read it. So, and I got people coming out of the men's room, howling with laughter, sharing around the office what rolled out of the toilet paper, not even knowing who's doing it. And I was trying to be ninja-like, not trying to reveal it was me. So I'm in there trying to figure out, how do I do this corporate America thing? I'm training these guys. Next thing you know, my guys that I'm working with are all getting saved. America is in an absolute crisis, and destiny is going to be determined over in the next couple of months. And guess what? You are going to be a participant in shaping what happens in America. I want to invite you to the call to courage. Courage is contagious. Persecution is not something that you should ever let keep you from preaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to thecouragetour.com, where you can join Mario Morello and me in an explosive experience where the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be experienced by thousands of people just like you, looking for the move of God and believing that God can save America. Mario, what are your thoughts about the Courage Tour?
It is a divine strategy. God has chosen locations that will directly affect the election. This is going to stave off the corruption we had in the last round, because it's going to be a supernatural event. Whenever Lance and I have worked together, whenever we've teamed up, it's like the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. What God does in our events together is amazing. This one is taking one event that was successful on its own, another event that was successful on its own, and blending them together. That's why the Courage Tour should never happen without you. If you love America, if you believe in the supernatural power of God, if you ever said, I believe that revival is coming, then you've committed yourself to be a part of this great miracle that's unfolding. Go and register at the website right now.
TheCourageTour.com. TheCourageTour.com. Yeah. We're focusing on 7 battleground states, 19 key counties, and we need you to join us. God bless you. I found out the weapons of our warfare are meant to do something. I would take the corporate problems they have. I would write them out and lay them down. And I said, I'm just going to have to do what in the Bible they did, you know, like the kings would just write down the thing and pray to God. And I'd pray over those problems that corporation had, because I wanted to get out of there and get into the ministry. I figured when I get done with my assignment, God will let me go. I prayed in tongues. Here's what I found out. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying a perfect prayer. And that if you ever understand what it is you're praying, you'll start getting an interpretation of what you're praying. And what I found out was I was getting insight on how to actually prosper the business that hired me. Next thing you know, I'm making them more money. People are getting saved. And I'm getting deeper into that. I'm getting promoted up the chain of command all the way up to the corporate level. I'm trying to get out, and I kept on praying myself deeper in. I actually thought the devil was trying to prosper me out of my calling. Then I figured, well, people are getting saved, and the Chick Tracks are working, and on my prayer, I'm walking around doing exorcism at the end of the day. I remember I would go out casting out devils, and then the janitor was right behind me emptying out the wastebasket. I thought, this is perfect. I'm casting them out. He's cleaning them up. Glory to God. I go for a corporate meeting with all the owners of the company. I have a plan that I prayed in tongues. It's going to work for them, prosper them. I think it's a perfect blueprint. I'm thinking, maybe if I just give this to them, that'll be my assignment. And this is the weirdest thing. I'm Pentecostal in my background. So I don't know if you ever know, like when you're in Pentecost, when I was younger, we would always have a prophecy in church. But it would always be like, thus saith the Lord. It was always starting off with that. So you learn whatever your pattern is, right? So when I was in church, it was always, thus saith the Lord. It's kind of like the old lawnmowers. You know, you pull the cord. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, something's in you, and you have an idea, but you got to start it off right. Thus saith the Lord. I stood up in front of that corporate boardroom. Mr. Orzak right there, vice president. All the satraps and royalty, all the managers from all the divisions of this corporation sitting to the side, all competitive. I get up there, and I just want to get out of there. But I give them, and as soon as I stand up, I hear, "Thus saith the Lord," in my head. I go, "Oh no." The same anointing of prophecy came over me in a boardroom. "Thus saith the Lord." "Oh, I can't do that." And so I said, I have to try to modify it. I said, "And this is what you need to do." I spoke authoritatively as though it was Jesus talking to them. And I gave them the plan. It was so weird. When I got done, Stan Orzech at the head of that table, it was like the Hallelujah Chorus. He stood up and applauded like a standing ovation. And all the other managers looked at each other. They got up and they better join the boss. They don't want to look like they're in rebellion. And they're all applauding me like that. I thought, this isn't working. Why am I feeling prophecy? What's wrong with me? Why am I praying in tongues and getting insight on what's going on? Why am I walking around casting out devils out of a corporate office in Babylon, New York, was where our office was. Lord took me back later when Daniel had to interpret the handwriting on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, epartizem, your weight in the balances and are found wanting. What do you think happened there? I was asking the Lord. I said, what exactly is going on? The Lord said, that was the tongue of heaven. And Daniel was doing interpretation of tongues. It's a model for the last days. We solve the riddles that nations can't solve. We solve the problems that government can't solve. Stop looking at yourself just like you're the ticket dispenser to how to go to heaven or get a healing. You're the solution to the problem in your own nation. And you may need to have two or three or four that are in the house over here that are in proximity to the strong man, and you gather together. Now, if you could have that and plug it in here with an apostolic anointing at the center where you're here and you're there, now you've got a wheel within a wheel. You start to change the atmosphere over Minneapolis, and Minnesota becomes a different state. Does that make sense? Now, I knew you could handle this because you're the early crowd. One time I was in this modality of working out how to do this in corporate America, how to do this in business. And I could tell you, every business, education is the same way. There's a way up the mountain because you have solutions to problems the world doesn't have. We're anointed to heal the sick and cast out devils. I think we think too small. You're anointed to cast demons out of systems and heal sick and broken institutions. If you're a reformer, you're healing a company. You're casting out the demons that are destroying that business. You're dealing with the spirits that are invading the atmosphere, that are taking over the way people think. I was in Levittown one day, Levittown Parkway, where I was at younger when I was getting trained in all this. I remember I went into a guy's house, and he had a beautiful fish in his fish tank. And he had this fish tank, and I looked at that fish. I was kind of distracted by it because it had a beautiful long silver tail and gold and bronze, you know, kind of color. I said, what kind of fish is that? He said, oh, that's a Japanese Aranda fish. I said, how big does it get? He said to me, oh, well, this one's 4 or 5 inches. This is in a 15-gallon tank. Put it in a 25-gallon tank, it's going to grow to 8 inches. By the way, you put it in its natural habitat, it could grow up to being like as big as a foot long. I said, I don't understand it. How do you know what size fish to get for your fish tank? He said, oh, this is how it works. The fish grows to the size tank you put it in. Now I'm driving down Levittown Parkway, praying in Holy Ghost. I'm thinking, something about that fish. And the Lord says, you're that fish. And you will grow to the size revelation you swim in. Some of you have 4-inch growth only because you're swimming around in a barely making a survival mentality, waiting for the rapture and hoping the economy doesn't collapse or something like that. You've got to go much bigger. You've got to get into the ocean of what God has for you. You don't want to stand before him and find out when he's wiping away every tear from your eye what he had planned versus what you did. And I'll tell you, it takes an apostolic church that has a gift of faith for you to dream a bigger dream. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. How many of you sense that the Lord has an appointment with you right now? He's got an appointment with you, and it's going to save your life. Because once you get your assignment clear, Then the devil, he might try to take you out. But your argument is the assignment isn't over. And I don't believe the assignment is over in the United States. I think the cabin on the plane has been taken over by Al-Qaeda, but we're going to kick it out. It's a suicide mission they got us on. Because the church, sorry to say, we focused so much on this. We didn't see how to go into all the world and how to work our way. We didn't have the war college on how do you do this in corporate America? How do you do this in Hollywood? How do we create the movies we need to make? How do we create our own YouTube? But look at this. Rumble Now exists. Elon Musk buys Twitter, and basically he kicks the government manipulation and propaganda out of it. Tucker Carlson gets fired from Fox. Now he's just saying whatever he wants to say. What God is showing me is that he's giving America time because he's raising up the voices of people that are challenging the control of the narrative. He is pushing back on the gates of hell because America has an unfinished assignment in what's doing the earth. So I'm going to ask you now, are you willing to dedicate yourself to the bigger assignment that God's been preparing you your whole life for? Tell you something, I do a certain research project. I did a master's degree course with Bobby Clinton. It's called Leadership Emergence Theory or Convergence. Convergence is a phase that only 20% of Christians get to. It's actually the phase where they're doing the thing that they were called to do when they were born. It's the phase in life called convergence, which is when you literally step into the assignment God had shaped for you before you came into the earth, and you have the gifts, talents, and acquired skills to have the character to handle the invitation to step into that role. And when you're in that role, you're walking in the rhythm of stuff that's already been set up. Hallelujah. Opposition is heavy. God opens up for you a door, but there are many adversaries because the devil knows you're operating actually in the blueprint of what God has already established in the earth. You're in what we call a slipstream, if you're in a jet or something. You're in a certain area where things are happening fast. Why? Convergence is when your gifts, talents, and acquired skills come together with the preparation of your character so you can step into a role that God had already set up for you that makes 100% utilization of the anointing and gifting that's on your life. It's a powerful place to be. 80% of people don't get there. There's like four phases to get into convergence. But churches can go into convergence as well as leadership. Joshua and his generation had a convergence moment to cross over, and they missed it. So the Bible shows you could be at a rendezvous with the moment when God has set up the tape. But they looked at the giants, they looked at the size of the task, and their fish tank was too small. They didn't see what Joshua and Caleb saw, which is it doesn't matter how big they are, they will be bread for us. Everything that is in front of us has already been called to come down. And the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you, your best chapter is right in front of you. You're heading into the convergence zone. You're heading into the time when all of your life is a preparation for what you're stepping into right now.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.